Glory. Sometimes we let our minds wonder what that day is going to be like, that moment when we step inside that city. I don't know if it'll be glory. I don't know if we'll bow like the seraphim and cherubim and say, holy, holy, holy. I don't know if we'll shout hallelujah. I think it's going to be a lot of all of it. But we're going to worship him forever and ever. And it's going to be perfect. Our minds cannot comprehend what God has prepared for us, for those who love him. But I'm looking forward to that day. And by his grace, we want to live so that we are able to enter that city. Amen. I want to make a quick announcement before we get started. I'm going to be reading in Philippians chapter 4, but our evening service will not be here. Our regular 6 o'clock service, we will not be having that. Instead, this afternoon, we're going to be joining with Brother Bobby Washington and Golden Gate Baptist Church near Domino at 3 o'clock. I hope you'll be able to be there. It's going to be a special time for not only their congregation, but for all of us. He's asked me to preach that service. Our praise team's going to be singing as well. So we're going to have a good time in the Lord. Amen. And I hope that you're able to be a part of that service. If you need directions, talk to Brother Bill. No, he has them on his phone. I've got them on mine also. But he made a detailed turn-by-turn list. It's not hard to get to. If you are able to stand as we read God's Word this morning, I have one verse of Scripture, a verse that many here could quote, a powerful, profound, a beautiful promise of God to his children, to those that have put their faith and trust in him. It's for those who can say, my God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Eternal Father, we bow before you. So thankful, Lord, our hearts well up in praise and thanksgiving unto you because you are worthy. It is you that has redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. It is you that reached down and rescued us from that deep, miry pit of sin that we were in. It's you that, through the shedding of your own blood, at the cost of your life, even making your soul a sacrifice for our sins, it's because of what you've done that we're able to stand here and say that you are our God, our Father, our Savior. We thank you for this wonderful promise. And I pray that as you minister to us today, that you would give us ears to hear, give us a mind to understand and a heart to receive what you have for us in this moment. You know the need of each soul here, and we are all needy creatures. I pray, Lord, that souls would realize today that you have given us this promise to supply all of our need, and we would cling to your promise. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about a subject that it will seem so obvious that you will say, of course. It is both simple and profound. On one hand, it's obvious, but on the other, it is not so obvious. It is a subject that is clearly revealed in God's Word, but seldom understood in its fullness as we need to understand it. My subject this morning is our need of God. Our need of God. Can I tell you this morning that you need God more than you need anything, anyone? You need God. Now, using such a simple subject as this, I realize that one of the thoughts that comes to mind is, of course we need God, Brother Chris. That's why we're here. Everybody needs God. And if that is your thought, then I commend you. It is not only an appropriate thought, it is a thought that every person ought to have. Every one of us, upon hearing these words, the first thing that ought to come to mind is that, yes, we need God. I need God. Everybody needs God. If that does not come to your mind right away, then there is something wrong spiritually. And while we all would agree with the basic statement, we agree on a surface level that we need God in certain ways for certain things, my burden today is a little deeper than that surface level. I pray that in these next few moments that we will open our hearts and minds and we would let the Holy Spirit speak to us and allow Him to reveal to us how much we need God and how desperately we need God. Amen? How we need God every day, we need God every moment, we need God in everything. In every detail of our lives, we need God. Do you know that you need God today? How much do you think that you need God? Whatever that may be, I hope that before we're done, it'll be more. You will have listened to the Holy Spirit and realized in a greater way that I need the Lord more than I understood when I entered the service. Now, this is such a very familiar verse. It's so beautiful. It's one of the wonderful promises, and there are multitudes of promises in God's Word, but it is one of the most powerful. But I noticed something yesterday in this verse that's probably not often considered, and that is what is not said. What is not said. You see, the Holy Spirit, don't think because Paul was the penman of this epistle, that he was the writer. The Holy Spirit is the author of God's Word. Amen. And it's important to notice here what the Holy Spirit did not instruct Paul to write. He did not say, Paul, write these words that God will supply your need of salvation. Now, he didn't tell him to write that here. You say, well, Brother Chris, that's true. It is, but that's not what he told him to write. He did not say that God will supply your need of eternal life. He didn't say that God would supply your need of being rescued from an eternity without Christ, which we all deserve because of sin. The Holy Spirit did not even say to Paul, write that God will supply all your spiritual needs. See, that is where most people would draw the line. Well, of course, God will supply all my spiritual needs. That is not what God's Word says. Amen? Let's stick with God's Word. Sometimes we read it so quickly and we think that we know what it means, and it's such a superficial level that we don't receive what God has for us. But He wants to speak to us. He wants to help us today because He cannot meet the needs that we have until we're willing to admit that we have needs. Amen. Now, there are many, and I need to qualify that statement. There are many ways, and I'm going to touch on a few this morning. There are ways in which He meets needs for you and I that we don't even thank Him for because we're not aware of. We're not mindful enough to consider. But when the Holy Spirit says here that God shall supply all your need, He was revealing to us that our need is in all areas of our life. Amen. Stay with me this morning. That includes our spiritual needs, which of course comes first to mind, but it includes our physical needs. It includes our emotional needs. It includes our psychological needs, our material needs, our relational needs, because the truth is we need God in everything in our lives. Every detail of our lives, we need God. But I will tell you this morning that as obvious as this should be, it is something that most believers stumble over. They have difficulty grasping this truth. We have a lot of difficulty taking hold of what Jesus said in John 15, that without me, you can do a little bit, most things. You can't do anything spiritually. No, he said without him, you can do nothing. That means that we need God in everything. Amen. Now, I hope that you received this morning. See, when we make statements like this, what I'm trying to get across, there are thoughts that come to our mind. Maybe someone here is thinking that this morning. Maybe someone watching on Facebook is thinking, even as I say these things, that we need God in everything. Somebody's thinking, well, I don't need God to feed myself. I don't need God to clothe myself. I don't need God to get up and go to work in the morning to make a living. I can take care of a lot of things in life, most things in life, by myself. We are at a point in religion where most professing believers think that they hardly need God at all, outside of a few spiritual things. We're in a world that not only rejects God, but the very thought of God, they don't need God. People imagine in their, and it is foolishness, they imagine that all of these things that we are doing from day to day, you know, we tend to categorize, this is the spiritual, we're doing that this morning, we're at church. But tomorrow when I go to work, you know, that's the other part of my life. There are no other parts of your life as God's children. Amen. But people imagine that they are doing these other things in their own strength and in their own wisdom and because of their own motivation, and they never realize that the only reason that we're able to get up in the morning and go to that job or go to school or go to Walmart or go wherever we are planning to go is because God in heaven is supplying us the physical strength, the mental acuity, the ability to do what we could not do without God. God gives us that ability. The only reason when you woke up this morning and you took that breath of fresh air or you walked outside and you just breathed in the air is because God was giving you what you needed. It's not the devil that gives you that air. It's not the devil that gives you physical strength and alertness of mind and gives you the motivation to do the things that are right that you need to do. Those needs are met by God himself. We don't think about this. We don't realize, as Scripture says, it's in him that we live and move and have our being. Amen? In him. Every single moment of our lives, we are receiving what we need from God. Amen. If anybody doesn't think they need God to give them breath, just hold your breath a while. You will be convinced real quick. We're going to go home and sit down to a meal. We're going to nourish our bodies, and most of the world, most of the professing church will not have one thought of God, not realizing that the only reason that they have food on that table, the only reason that they've got good sense to see it and be able to pick it up is because God has supplied their need. He's given them the ability to earn a living. He's allowed them to receive the income they need to buy that food. It is God who is supplying our need. I know this takes it a little further than most want to take it today, because in our pride, in our fallenness, we like to think that we are taking care of ourselves. We pat ourselves on the back. We puff out our chest and imagine that I am what I am because I've made myself. Every single thing we have in our life comes from the goodness of God. Amen. Every good thing. See, we take these things for granted because we still struggle with unbelief. I put it in one of the devotionals this week, and it's not a popular one, but we do not realize the depths at which unbelief work upon our heart and our mind. We read the scripture and we say, oh yeah, every good and perfect gift comes down from our Father in heaven, but we don't really believe that every perfect gift, every good gift comes from God. We think we earned it. We imagine that we're entitled to it. We think because we work a little harder, we're a little smarter, we're a little stronger, we're a little more motivated than the next person. Every single thing you have by the grace of God. Every good gift comes from God. Amen. I get bothered by the you know, the entitlement attitude, and we talk about this group or that group, but it is what we as Americans suffer under. And we have no idea how absolutely, tremendously blessed we are. The favor of God has been upon our life to allow us, when we didn't deserve it or have anything to do with it, to be born into this country, to be brought up around Christian families, many of us, to be brought to church, to have somebody tell us about Jesus, to have God's Spirit talk to us and draw us to Himself, to where today we are children of God. We have no comprehension how blessed we are. Amen. Are you any better than those brethren in China? Those brethren in Cuba? Those saints that are suffering in the Middle East and those ones in India that are being killed every single day for their faith in Christ? Are you better than them? Those that don't have food to eat, those that don't have shoes, they don't have shelter, are we any better? Was it because we were just stronger, Brother Richard? You and I were smarter. We worked harder. It's because God is supplying our need. Amen. And all the glory ought to go to Him. No person that understands anything about God and who they are ever, ever boast in anything. Amen. Because we are what we are by the grace of God. Every good thing in our life is because God, not just day by day, but moment by moment, is supplying our need, because God chooses to bless us so abundantly. Now, we could talk a lot. I'm not going to, because there's more important things. This generation is almost wholly consumed by the physical and the material things around us. It is what the minds of people are upon. But the reality is, the physical and the material things, they pale in comparison to the spiritual things. Because this body, the physical body that was made of the dust, is going to soon return to dust, but the soul of man is eternal, and somewhere this soul is going to spend eternity. And so the spiritual needs of man far outweigh, and we are, one of the reasons we're in the mess that we're in today is because not just the politician, not just the messed up society, but because most of the professed church, they're putting the physical and material needs ahead of the spiritual needs. And when we do that, we sin against God. I didn't say that they're not important in our life. But I said, when you put them ahead of the spiritual needs, the needs of the soul, amen, we sin against God. Now, for anyone who is familiar with the Word of God, I liked what he opened with, those who read it most love it most. I always find that people that have trouble reading it, you know, and they don't care for it is because you know, they're not getting into it. They don't love it. Amen. You know, when I married my wife and started to spend more time with her, I didn't love her less. The more time I spent with her, the more I loved her. Well, if we are familiar with God's word and we're thinking about the subject of our need of God, our minds are one of the first places our minds are going to go. It's all the way to the end. The last book, we're going to go to Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to remember the last of the seven churches that Jesus spoke to, and what he spoke to that church was not so pleasant. That was the church at Laodicea. And you remember that they were a backslidden church. And you remember what he said to them? Their attitude was what? I'm rich and increased with goods, and this was their prideful, sinful boast. We have need of... We don't need anything. We have need of nothing. The people who called themselves believers, Christians, saying, we got it all going on, we don't need anything. I can hardly imagine that attitude. And yet, when I look around in our world and in this current church culture, it's not only the attitude of most of the world, but it is the attitude of a lot of people in the church. They're smug, they're satisfied, they're taken care of, they have, you know, money in the bank, they've got physical things, and they think they have need of nothing. Fact was, Laodicea didn't have any idea of their true needs, did they? They were so blinded to their actual spiritual condition, they didn't know what Jesus said. They couldn't imagine it about themselves, but that's how blind they were, because Jesus said, you don't know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That is how he knew them to be on a spiritual level. Oh, God, help us that lest we ever let that attitude take hold of us that we don't need anything, anybody, anyone. But this lack of awareness of need, see, this is what I'm really touching on this morning. We want God to speak to our heart to show us how much we need him, how desperately we need him. But the lack of awareness of this need, it runs all the way from today through human history, because it goes all the way back to where it began in the garden. Can I tell you this morning that the very essence of sin is the attitude, I don't need God. I mean, if you could boil sin down in all of it, its hideousness, if you could boil it down to the most base form, it is the attitude of pride that says, I don't need God. I can depend on my own self. I can be independent of God. You know, that's where Adam and Eve went wrong in the garden. Amen. It is where every person, you and I, it's where we went wrong in the beginning when we chose sin. It is where every person has gone wrong except one. His name was Jesus. He is the only one to live a life 100% totally dependent upon God. Only Jesus. See, that was, people don't realize it because they look at all they look at other things. They don't realize just exactly that Jesus said, all that I do of the Father. All, everything. The key to his life as the perfect man was his total, complete dependence upon his heavenly Father. See, there's a lot of people, they want to say a lot of other things, but Where sin begins is the attitude that I don't need God. I don't need to listen to God. I don't need God telling me what to do. Amen? See, Adam, the first man, was the pinnacle of God's creation. He was marvelously made. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, by the way. Made in the image of God. Made with freedom of choice, freedom of will. Made with reasoning capabilities. A mind unlike any other mind on this earth. Adam, the first man, was given dominion over God's creation, dominion over the animal world. Adam was given that. But you know what Adam didn't realize was how much he needed God. He didn't know. He didn't know how desperately he needed God's presence. He didn't know how much that he needed God's voice speaking to him. He didn't know that he needed the fellowship and the communion that God offered to him. He didn't know that he needed God to guide his life and to direct his steps and to God to give him wisdom, God to give him strength, God to give him motivation to get up and go. Adam didn't know that he needed God like that. We ought to be knowing it. And so, ignorant of this, Adam chose his own way. What was that way, Brother Chris? The way of independence from God. A life that the attitude says, I don't need God. Why did he do that? Because he believed the devil's lie. When the devil come around and say, you don't need God, you will be as a God. Huh. Well, think about that. You say, oh, Brother Chris, that's awful. You did it. So did I. Every sinner is doing it every day. Their spirit is proclaiming to a holy God, I don't need you. Because when Adam and Eve sinned against God, do you know what they were saying? I don't need God to give me rules. I don't need God to tell me what to do. Amen? If you think this is not in man, you've not lived very long or had your eyes open one or ever raised a teenager or been one. Because every one of us thought at some time. You know, when you hit about 13, you get about 15, time you're 16, when you know everything in the whole world there is to know, your attitude is, I don't need those people telling me what to do. Amen? I won't ask the teenagers to say amen. But that is the attitude that every soul manifests when they are not right with God. I don't need God telling me what to do. I referred to this Wednesday night and touched on that. That is that spirit of lawlessness. Amen? Adam was the first man that was guilty of that, because in rejecting God's law, God's rules, not wanting to depend upon God to set a law or boundaries for him, he did like people are still doing today. I'll be a law unto myself. I'll make my rules, Brother Richard. I don't want an outside law. I will be my own God. So I don't need God. I will be a law unto myself, so I don't need his law. I will set the boundaries for my own life, so I don't need God to set boundaries. Amen? You with me? I'll just, by faith, I'm going to trust that you're doing what my wife says. She says, when they're quiet, Brother, or she don't call me Brother Chris. I won't tell you all that she calls me, but no, she's always... most always talks real nice to me, better than I deserve. But she says, they're thinking. You know, like Bubby, nodding his head and thinking. Amen. So I'm going to take that by faith today. That you're really awake and alert and you're thinking. Amen. Do you know we all need God to be our lawgiver? Oh, people, Brother Chris, we're under grace. Wait a minute. You need a law and I need a law. We need a lawgiver. And there's no good ones except God. Only God's laws are totally good. And the only good laws in our land and in this world are the laws based on the law of God. Amen. We need God to be our lawgiver. This opens up another aspect of this truth. The truth that I'm trying to preach about, our need of God. And that is that we have a desperate need for God to be our ruler, our king. Sherry mentioned about, is he sitting on the throne of our heart? We have a desperate need for God to guide over and direct our lives. Amen. It may be hard to say amen because you think you can figure it all out yourself, but none of us can. No man has ever done it. The wisest man that ever lived, super endowed with an intelligence, a wisdom beyond any human being in history, Solomon, he reached a point that he said, I'm smart enough. Of course, I'm thinking, why didn't somebody tell him after he picked about the 600th wife, buddy? Somebody flipped a switch wrong somewhere. Amen. We need God. Because it's not in man to direct his own steps. Amen. We need God. We need God to establish his law for us and in our lives. We need him to give us rules to live by because we don't know how we ought to live. We need him to lead us and to guide us and to direct our steps in every, not just spiritual things, but everything we do. This is where the hang up is. The church in this generation acknowledges, oh, I need God for salvation. I need him to help me here and there. But after that, I'm okay. I'll take care of myself. I'll make my own decisions. And they do. And that's why we are here today in a country that is going down in a moral and a spiritual cesspool. We are here not because of the politicians. We are here because the church has moved Christ off the throne of their hearts. And they have taken upon themselves, and on Monday through Saturday and most Sundays, they do exactly what they want. God is not involved. The Holy Spirit's not involved. Jesus not involved. The Word of God not involved. Nobody's guiding them and directing them except their own stubborn and selfish and sinful will. Let's say it like it is. Amen. Because when we're going contrary to God's law, it's sinful. Amen. God says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That means come together with God's people on the appointed time. We decide we're going to do something else. We are sinning against God. It's too straight for people today. When you go contrary to God's law and the rules he has given us and the boundaries, it is no different. Like you get married, you tell the husband, tell your wife, well, they commit to one another. You put boundaries that when it comes to the expression of physical love, that we will not step out of the boundaries of this relationship, these two that have become one. By the way, we make that covenant because God set it up. One man, one woman, not two men, not two women, not a man and six women. One man and one woman. Amen? You step out of that boundary, you're sinning against God. Amen? And if you get caught, you got other problems. Amen? Now, you already caught because God knows it. But people don't realize the seriousness of sin. They think they can establish their law. Why do church members fill up the lakes and the ballparks and why do they set their reunions on Sunday morning and everything? Because they are saying to God, I don't need you to set your rules on my life. That is the reason why. And we're too cowardly, we're too spineless to own up to our sin against God. Well, I know people are not going to like it, but I'm going to answer to God, not to you. And you are going to answer to God for your response to His law. Amen. And your response to His word and His message. The failure of this that's got us in the mess we're in today. You know, the reason that homes are wrecked like they are, kids run the homes, wives run the homes. Dad has been pushed to the very, dad is on the bottom. He did. It's because we got away from doing things God's way. Children don't honor the parents. Wives do not honor their husband. No, you know, I could get real plain here, like I'm not already. And it needs to be said. Maybe I'll let it be said in a women's session sometime. We're not going to set God's rules aside and ever do good. Amen. We're not going to walk in disobedience to what God has established and carry on a relationship with Him. We will be in a backslidden state. Amen. Now, there's good news in this. What is it? We began with it. And I'm going to say it again, and I'll end with it. The good news is God has promised to supply all our needs. Amen? That's good news to every soul, because every soul is a needy soul. All of us. I hope that I'm getting that across. We all are needy souls. We all need God. And to know that He will supply all of our needs when we put our faith and trust in Him is a marvelous, a blessed truth. For me to know that as great as my needs are, as many as they are, as complicated as they are, as impossible as some of them seem to be, I can hold to this promise, my God shall supply all my need. Hallelujah. Now the problem, again, is the fact that most people understand, most church people say, well, I know I need God here, but I don't believe all that other stuff you're saying. Biblical and human history is filled with the failures of people who were under that delusion. They knew they needed God here, but not here. You know, you look at just touching on a few of the Bible characters. David, that man after God's own heart, that man when he told King Saul, I'll fight Goliath, and running down there to face the giant, the Philistine giant. Don't you think David knew, Lord, I need you. I need you every hour. I need you right now. I need you to guide this rock. David knew he needed God. Amen. David knew when he was made to be king that he needed God. It humbled him. He said, who am I that you would call me to lead such a people? He knew he needed God. Trouble was, David didn't know he needed God when he was on the balcony looking at Bathsheba. Amen? I've done whooped all the giants and defeated all the enemies. I'm king. He had no idea how desperately he needed God in that moment. Samson, that mighty man, I was just reading his story yesterday, and I mean, when that lion came up on him, I could imagine, you know, whispering, oh, Lord, I need you. When he faced those 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey, I could imagine him crying out to God, I need you. But again, with Samson, when he laid his head in Delilah's lap, he didn't know how desperately he needed God in that moment. Amen. Elijah on Mount Carmel facing those 900 prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth and a heathen king. He knew he needed God. God came through. Wasn't it amazing? A few hours later, he's running from a girl. Amen. Queen Jezebel just sent word, I'm going to kill you. And all of a sudden, Elijah just forgot about how much he needed God, and he's running off, going to handle it on his own. Going to hide. Oh, I could imagine the many times in Peter's life when he was following Jesus, even being raised as a Jewish boy. And then when Jesus said, follow me, and as he heard those teachings that he'd never heard and seen those, Peter realized, I need God. But the problem was when Peter was out there warming his hands by the fire and telling people, I don't know Jesus, he done forgot how much he needed God. You with me? A whole nation, Israel. They come across Jordan and the land of Canaan. Right away they meet that mighty walled city of Jericho. No nation had come against them successfully. We need you, Lord. They sought him, and then God came through. But then a couple days later, there's this little city down here, Josh. Ai, and just a few of them. Don't even call out the big guns. Just a few of us going to go down and we'll whoop them. What happened? I just talked about it recently. They didn't seek God because they didn't know they needed God. They didn't know how weak, how powerless, how ineffective they were on their own. Just like we're still trying to learn today. Amen. I mean, that big thing comes in your life, my life, that enemy comes in like a flood. We're like David. We're like Elijah. We're like, we know we need God. It's not generally that big overwhelming flood that gets us. It's those little foxes. Amen.